See that ye walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not foolish, but wise, understanding the will of the Lord. You may be seated. Every third or fourth Sunday morning, I stand here in your pulpit. It's my pulpit, too, seeing that Linda and I have been members here since 1955. And I stand here in your pulpit making a fool of myself, because we are fools. Every so-called Christian, so-called preacher stands under 1 Corinthians 4:10 as a fool for Christ. And so I surrender my introversion, my modesty, my reserve, my self-consciousness to make a fool of myself. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. And what else? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Unsophisticated, non-Episcopal, totally un-Anglican, two of my nevertheless all-time favorite hymns of surrender. And last Sunday morning the choir sang, and the Sunday before that we all sang, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." Another all-time favorite evangelical hymn that hangs in my heart lifelong, because we sang it every Sunday to close worship with my grandfather at East Hill Baptist Church, Pensacola, when I was growing up, watching sinners walk bravely down the aisle to claim the blood of Jesus and accept Christ as their personal Savior. One morning this week, early, we had taken our daughter out to Chick-fil-A for breakfast, and as we were leaving Chick-fil-A, my phone went off for a text, and it was Father Steve asking if he was preaching, and I said, "No, I'm preaching, but if you want or need to change, I'm okay with that." And then he texted me his hooray thing that he described, and I texted him back respectfully asking if he had any ideas for what I might preach about this morning, and he texted right back without hesitation, "Bread." And so... And so bread it is. And if on the way home from church this morning, you ask yourself or someone else in the car, "What the heck was that sermon all about? That didn't make no sense at all." That's not my problem. That's your problem. My problem of the moment is to make a fool of myself yet one more time again, and then go sit down in red-faced embarrassment as all for Jesus I surrender. Now, we are today in the fourth of five Sundays reading from John chapter 6, which means that Father Steve's got to preach about bread again next Sunday, or he may do as I occasionally do, pick something from the Old Testament, and I'll bet he preaches about evil Murdoch. That'll be undoubtedly what we're in. But we're still in John chapter 6 that scholars call the Bread of Life discourse, when I like to sing "Break Thou the Bread of Life," yet another all-time favorite evangelical hymn, as the fraction anthem when the celebrant holds the bread up and breaks the communion wafer in the Eucharist. Now, I think Gospel John is a little nutty. Why? He's dichotomous, he's non sequitur, he fails to round out his plot as though it did not even occur to him. Gospel John alone presents Jesus as the bread of life, and yet, unlike Mark, Matthew, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, who focus on Jesus very subtly making every feeding event a Eucharist, taking and blessing and breaking and giving the bread. And in the synoptics, Jesus does this, whether it's bread and fish for 5,000, or bread and fish for 4,000, or bread and wine with just his disciples at the Last Supper, or as at Luke 24, just bread with Jesus and a couple of friends as they come to an end at the end of the day on the road to Emmaus, and they don't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. Unlike all those synoptic connected dots, the gospel according to John, with all his focus on Jesus as the bread of life, not only is Gospel John surprisingly not Eucharistic, but at the Last Supper, which is the central event of the Gospels, John does not even mention bread or wine. He's all new covenant and washing feet and new covenant, love, new covenant, love. I just don't quite get Gospel John, but that's not really so. I do get him. I get his agenda, his plot, his formula and all, and I love teaching the gospel according to John, second only perhaps to the gospel according to Mark. I just don't understand the man himself, the mind of the man that we call John the Evangelist, Gospel John, who in his gospel proclaims Jesus the Lamb of God at the very beginning, right after the baptism. You remember that? Behold the Lamb of God. And then at the very end, he proves the Lamb of God on Good Friday, the day of the slaughter of the Passover lamb, as Jesus goes to the cross. Gospel John, who has Jesus enraging Judean temple and other authorities by repeatedly and sacrilegiously calling himself I am, Greek ego emi, Hebrew iye, or yeveh, which in Jewish lore is the unspeakably sacred name of only God's own self. And it's no wonder that they crucified Jesus. But my bone to pick with Gospel John is chapter 6 that we've been reading from, his emphasis on the bread of life. Jesus says, listen to it again, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, manna, yuck, what is it? And they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. See? Then, as I say, unlike the synoptics, John fails to seal his gospel proclamation eucharistically in the feeding of the 5,000, or even at the Last Supper, or yet he doesn't even do it later in Jesus' post-resurrection appearance on the beach, where Jesus feeds Peter and the other apostles and the beloved disciple bread and fish again there on the beach. John misses it, and I don't understand it. I don't understand why John, written at so late a date when he had access to all that had been written before, why John, of all evangelists, is so oblivious of the Holy Eucharist and misses this Eucharistic opportunity. Unless, of course, he's leaving that bread proclamation to me and other fools for Christ down through the ages of ages, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. I don't know. I do not know. I just don't know. I do know this. The bread is not God. The gospel, according to John, where I am the bread of life, was written perhaps a generation later than Mark. Mark, the first and foundation of the synoptics, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, where the Eucharist is subtly but discernibly central, the core of every feeding account, but not for Gospel John, where love is central. Maybe John does not go off Eucharistic on us because, as he writes, and it's maybe 90 to 125 A.D., he looks around and he sees what is already happening in the early Christian church. That is to say, the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, where the bread is God, but God is not bread, and bread is not God. God is love. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church where the Holy Eucharist is the principal act of Christian worship on the Lord's Day. We take and bless and break and give is not God. The bread is material, and it's a material sign of God who is spirit and who is love. And it's the bread is a way materially to ingest God and become part of God and have God become part of us, a spiritual transubstantiation of us, if you will. So in Gospel John, the bread is semeion, John's New Testament Greek. Semeion, it's a sign of God. In our sacramental terms, if you go to the catechism in the back of the prayer book, the bread is not God, the bread is an outward and invisible sign of God. And all this brings me back home to precisely what I think Gospel John may want me to proclaim to you this morning. This bread means Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Is that clear? That's the gospel of the Lord. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah.